But think how much better off we are than a whole lot of people. If you would find someone you do not know and haven't spoken with and partner up with them, that's handy. Anybody? Have you talked to me? Or Ken?
He's got a partner. Oh, no, I haven't. Well, wait, I have talked to you. No. No, I don't think I've talked to you.
Well, I think she'd have to talk to me and sit it out with someone.
Oh, I see, because we have the...
So sit this one.
Doctors.
Yeah. You know what to do. Okay, so if you would consider, without, you know, getting too wound up in it, what your favorite insight of the retreat has been. The thing that you're going to take with you that maybe you didn't have when you arrived or something like that. Joni.
A powerful retreat, and before I share, I also just want to give deep, deep, deep gratitude to Ashwini and both Jen, because it's that I came to, I couldn't have done without everyone.
Yes, indeed.
And of course you. a door is open that I think is answering some lifelong questions, that is resolving some lifelong issues. And it started with Ashwini. She noticed something and gave me some feedback about my core message that until she said it, it didn't really, things began to make sense. Mm-hmm. And then as things went on, you and I had a debate, but there was some processing going on for me the other night, and I realized the clarity that I got was in not listening to ego. I had translated that onto even, the ego that brings the suffering onto little Joni. And I think I've been doing that my whole life. In fact, I know I've been doing that my whole life. So not wanting to listen to the pain after having dwelled in it for so many years. And you opened a door for me to see something. There's a very powerful old Jewish saying, and I'm trying to remember the rabbi, but it's, if I'm not there for others, who am I? If I'm not there for myself, what am I? And I realized, it really hit home, Buddha's saying that we're here to work diligently at our own salvation. And so I have been in the process of trying to wrap my arms around all this and really getting what it means to be really patient and be loving and supportive to all of Joni. And as you said, nobody else wants to hear my stories. And I want to hear when it's necessary, I'm going to hear those stories when Joni suffered.
Yes. And what the process of that we're going through is designed to dissolve the human being. right? Because we suffer because we believe that we are separate from that which animates us. And so each time we realize something and it falls away, we're a little clearer. There's a little less of us to drag around. And not that we would ever have a goal, of course, but if we did, then that would be to clean up all of it before we leave this lifetime. Because, at least the Buddhist understanding is, and I bet we can all suspect there's some validity to it, whatever is not finished in this lifetime is simply going to go on. And somewhere, a little baby is going to be born with all of the crapola that we didn't clean up in this lifetime, as happened to us. And so our wish for that not to happen, we realize that it's not just this human being that is being saved, but it is much larger than that. And so with each one of those stories, we hear it, we say yes, and we realize it's just a story, and we can let it go slowly, and with a great dedication and devotion and commitment, we just work through issue after issue after issue after issue until, because we know that everything we suffer over is in here, right? Is between our ears. And so that's what we're seeing. That's what we're realizing. And each time we see through something, we let it go, we drop it, we don't suffer over it any longer. So there's a tremendous reward for doing this, even though for ego, it is a disaster, right? So ego is going to fight us every step of the way because it has its imaginary little existence in our suffering.
You know, I don't even know how it's all connected for me. One thing that really is falling into place, two things, but I think it has to do with this growing realization, but I know it does, is that I had a dream a long time ago, actually, a sleeping dream, about going up this very hard wall to get something that I really, really wanted. And at some point, it was so difficult, it was almost impossible. At some point, I felt this invisible support underneath me. And then I just started going up the wall. And for the longest time, I was like, what was that? How do you create that? You know, is it God's support? What is that, right?
Now you know.
Now I know. It's, now I know.
Yeah. All right. Janet and then Jen. Is that... Did
sure.
You see somebody else?
I was going to call on Kevin. But
okay. And then Kevin. And then Anna.
And we have plenty of...
And then... and then this side of the room. Oh, and we have another Kevin. All right. Who did I say?
Janet.
Ah, Janet.
So I really want to thank you for encouraging me last night. I know you were encouraging all of us.
Can you hear her?
I'm thanking you for encouraging me to stay up, to do the practice. And what happened was, I'm leaving here and going somewhere else, and it was like, you're going to just be too tired.
You're going to be
is
tired.
Too much.
It's just, and yeah.
She's just saying that. But.
And it's nice for her. I'm sure she'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want.
And I'm sure there'll be a lot of other people who will do it too. I mean, who's going to miss me, right?
So I went and I did. I was outside and it was lovely. And then I wasn't aware. I was aware that I was being drawn back to. I need to go to bed. And I watched. I wasn't aware enough to not stop it, but I watched myself go back. I'll set the alarm. Be like, 45 minutes. I'll just lay down. And I laid down, I closed my eyes, and I was like, oh, this is so nice. You're going to be okay now because you're taking care of yourself. And then all of a sudden it was just like, what? Wait a minute. And I jumped up and I turned the alarm off and I came.
Race to the hall.
I did. I came back. Well, first I stopped to eat something.
Yeah. You know, you can't just let go of taking care of yourself completely.
And what happened was, that I brought in the new year just exactly as I wanted to.
I had Can you hear that she brought in the new year exactly as she wanted to?
I had the biggest smile on my face when, you know, the bell was rung at 12 o'clock. And it was so funny because conditioning was saying to me, you know, if you keep smiling like this, you're going to really hurt tomorrow.
You're going to smile so much that your mouth will hurt tomorrow. Wow. And you're going on a trip. Not only did you not sleep, but your mouth is going to hurt.
It was like, you know, whatever. And it was just so fun to see that. It was like, oh my God, I can't stop smiling and I'm going to hurt and I'm probably not going to sleep. And, you know, it
Good.
Was,
yeah.
It was all of it, but it was, I was right where I wanted to be when that.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you.
Jen. Oh, were you going to say something?
No.
Oh.
Jen. So, recording and listening creates a really different quality of life.
No.
I know you might be surprised to hear that, but that's my experience. So, just wanted to, you know, hear
Share.
Myself say that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And the thing that you said last night in group, where are you getting the information from? Where are you getting your information from? And that's my experience is the recording and listening helping so much more to be able to catch. That's not, you know, I'm getting this information all the time, but it's made up. It's just that I'm so accustomed to thinking it's going to help me improve and be better, and but it's made up. It's coming from that. It's not helping. It's actually keeping me from being here, keeping me from enjoying, keeping me from being available to life. All of that, and the recording and listening helps me to catch that and see it and get free of it.
So. Yes, because if we don't get it outside our head, we don't have a chance, do we?
No, it feels so true. I mean, yeah. I know this.
Well, it's me, right? It's me,
right.
And I've doped all this out, and I've put this together,
yeah.
And this is reality.
It's true.
And it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're not that old, but one of the things I like to say to old people is, how many decades have you been doing that and how successful has it been? Okay? So that can also be a clue. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Kevin.
So I started looking at something after the last time I participated last night, around reruns. In the mind, right? So I'm going through this experience on a content level in my life where it's just a really beautiful, sweet season in my life. Like, things are really precious. And there's been a lot of suffering, and so it feels just so wonderful, and I've just been really touching into gratitude on this retreat for that. And there's something, Cher, that you said the other night around when the voices start, right? It's that I'm hearing it, I'm not doing it. And I've more or less been able to, it's like the voices sort of natter on, and there's so much like replaying interactions and things, and yet there's enough like psychological distance that I cannot get too wrapped up in it, even though it's happening. And there's a sense, so after, and I started seeing this after last night when I spoke, it still feels like there's enough attention being given to it that it's dangerous, because when the content doesn't work out, it's just going to chew me up. I think because then the identification comes in, right, and it feels more like I'm doing it, or something. So I don't know, but it feels like there's this profound gratitude and just wanting to just like lean into this season of sweetness in my life and this awareness that this too shall pass, right? And the content will become challenging again, of course. And if this system is still there, which it likely will be, there could be some challenges arising from that, right? So,
shall I?
Yes, please.
The thing that dropped in for me when you said that, right, Kevin, is the awareness of how the attention, there's some amount of the attention that's still on the conversation. And I think we've been looking at it that it's when there's, when all of the attention is available to the sweetness, that's when we feel the love and the connection. Because any level of attention on that suffering system, there's no wholeness there. And the interesting part for me is that whether it's sweet completely with a 1% of attention on ego, or really horrible with 1% attention on sweetness, the practice doesn't change. Because what I'm practicing is to see if I can have all the attention on sweetness. Because until that is my practice, I won't experience total sweetness. And so the temptation is that when it's going well, there's a way in which we could sort of not have our foot on the pedal or whatever the metaphor is. And that is a subtle way by which the conditioning operates to have, to mix my metaphors, a foot in the door. There's always a leak.
There's always a foot.
There's always a foot. Right? So there's a way. So the thing that, it's my experience that when it's all going well, there's the awareness that it won't. And when it's all going really, really badly, at some point the only thing that saves us is the awareness that this too shall pass. And so then what's left for me? If I'm always waiting for the shoe to drop or another foot, right? And so that I lost the thread. So just that place of, in order to be completely here for whatever your life is. The practice is always to have attention on all your life. Mm-hmm. Whether the content is challenging or not, whether the circumstances are challenging or not, that the only way we practice having it all in every moment is having it all in every moment.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yes, mm-hmm. I think what I'm seeing or starting to look at is just this difference between, so the whatever amount of freedom I have found thus far has, I think, primarily come from seeing that I'm hearing the voices and not doing the voices, right? That it's not me, essentially. And that has, like, opened so much room for me just to be a human and have a life and, like, have that. And even if it's not me, if I'm still attending to it.
Yes.
Right? That's still a process of suffering, and that's still a process of pulling me away.
Yes.
And I think as soon as the content doesn't work out, the identification will be right on the heels of that.
Because the path is still there, right? So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think what you're pointing to is important. When we come to practice, we don't know that the voices exist. So the first awareness we start to build is to that, to the fact that they do, and that attention is by default on that, right? And then we really get to the place where I hear them, but I'm not believing them when the going is easy, and then sometimes when the going isn't, I'm really, really identified. But there's an oscillation of that in the context of it's not me. And then we get the opportunity to practice at the next level, which is, as long as there is an attention pathway to the conditioning, suffering is always possible. So now it's not about whether I identify with it or not, or I see it as it is or not.
But is my practice to bring all of my attention to awareness so there are no leaks to that system?
And
it's always process, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're not saying we get there, but mm-hmm. we're always making the attempt.
So I guess I'm just looking then at mm-hmm. like how that might look for me in a moment, right? So I'm almost imagining, I've heard somebody at the monastery long ago say something around, well, I won't try to paraphrase. So I'm wondering if when I notice the voice happening, if that's not just every time that happens, it's a bell to come back.
Yes, I've heard Cherry say, you live and I choose unconditional love. So every time something shows up and you're aware, you're hearing them, the awareness expands to being in love, not. So it's an expanded awareness place to be able to be here and notice the bird and notice the voice. But there's a step that we could take to own the projection that we are the awareness, not that we're hearing the voice.
It is much harder, it seems, to move the attention away than to just realize it's not me.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And I think Sherry said it yet. Now, for now. Not that it won't get easier. Because mm-hmm. there was a time when you did not know that the voices were not you. Mm-hmm. And they could get you to believe that. Right?
Yeah, you couldn't get me not to
believe. You could not get... Yes, exactly. Exactly. We've been there.
Well, and if I may, the thing that was occurring to me when you were describing that is the unconditional nature of it. Right? So whatever his life is, there are not going to be any standards because he is unconditionally loved. And so if it's a hard time, then he's going to have unconditional love with him as he goes through a hard time. When it's really sweet and everything is coming together and it's so joyful, then unconditional love is going to enjoy that with him. And it seems to me like that's the... You know, it's the conditional nature of ego that gets us. So as long as you're the right person or you're having the right experience or things are, you know, then you're okay. But it's watching for the, but you missed, there was a misstep. And so now, no unconditional for you. And that's the part that we're getting past. It's not conditional. It's not dependent upon anything because that system that is judging me can't see me. That system talking to me about what's wrong doesn't know who I am as an expression of the intelligence that animates.
Because it's just projection incarnate.
That's right. And it is the illusion of being separate from the unconditional. So, of course, that's it. It is the world of condition.
Phil, I don't know, Sherry. I think you had somebody. Mark.
I saw another Kevin over there.
Okay, another Kevin, and then we'll come down this way.
The exercises in this retreat, I feel have rooted me deeper, which has been tremendous. See, I've got a question about something, a response you gave in group one evening. The memory's a little shaky, so I'll try to walk through it. It was about letting go of recordings, or that recordings, I'm not saying don't matter, but there's a life to them. And, you know, you can bring back a recording and remember that moment.
Well, if I may, right at that juncture.
Please.
It's not that we remember it. It actually brings us to the experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everything happens in conversation. That's why communication is such a very big deal, and that's why recording and listening is such a big deal. So we're constantly talked into our experience. So for a while we were playing with that, we are talked. Okay, so we're talked into being happy, we're talked into being sad, we're talked into, okay, and so we are so attuned to the conversation, it just takes us there. So people will talk about being in the year-long retreat, and they can listen to a recording, and they go right to the experience of being with Sangha. It just brings them right to the present moment, right? So it's not, yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's kind of where I... And sometimes that doesn't happen.
Sometimes it doesn't. Which is usually the result of who's listening, mm-hmm. not what the conversation is. Mm-hmm. So you know that experience of just feeling so centered. And you can read the label on a cereal box. And it is profound. Right? Because of who's there. Because of the clarity that's there. So when it's not working, then that's a clue to look at who's here. Where am I getting that information that it's not working?
I also see the value, too, now with the ability or need to record while things are going well.
Yes.
And yes. Even if things not necessarily when things are...
That's right. Well. It's critical
for
that reason, right? And the recording and listening, not that I'm encouraging anybody to speed through this, okay, but that it really is training wheels. Because what we're learning to do is not live in that conditioned mind conversation that is telling us how things are and how we should feel and all of that. We're training ourselves to be in a conversation of presence. And that's why, you know, if you drop your recorder down the toilet in the airplane. How do I know these things?
The morning or the New Year's Eve. Yeah.
So that could be a moment, right? But because you know that experience of being in a presence conversation, there isn't that desperate feeling of, oh my God, you know, it's gone, I'll never be able to have that experience again. You know you will.
Yeah.
And that the insights are not content specific. Right? That really you're recording his experience of presence. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to go away.
I'd like to add one thing.
Please.
The food has been spectacular.
Yes.
They are getting better.
A special shout out to the walnuts. I don't know what they were faced with. It's probably not monastery legal. But oh boy.
Oh boy. Yeah, and truly, I think it is the case that whoever the powers that be in there are getting dialed into our way of eating, because it's just been like this, and this time it was spectacular. Yeah.
If I may add something to that, Kevin, when it's not working, that when you're listening to a recording that doesn't bring you out of presence,
into presence. Out of presence.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we don't want to.
Into presence. That to pick up the recorder is the best thing you can do to redirect the attention.
Ooh.
To get out of what is in. So it's the way we come back, right? Because listening is a way to direct the attention to awareness of what you're listening to. But if there's a way in which that's being interfered with because this is not receptive, you want to get out of this. Into presence to get back to the receptors. And so it's a lovely place to actually record.
Uh-huh.
Because you want to get out of the conversation till you can listen again.
So you just record that I'm listening, but nothing's happening here. I'm not
yes,
feeling...
Yes, as soon as you verbalize the
surface layer, at least this is my experience, the surface layer of the identification, you're likely to drop in what's actually going on with you, and that process is getting you in touch with him. Mm-hmm. The him to whom it's happening. And so that's a way of getting into, I don't want to listen, or, you know, whatever it is. And it's really because, and eventually you'll stumble on the reason the identification happened, and as soon as you come back here, the heart opens to listen again. So we just keep coming. Dolly.
I'm being told I shouldn't talk about this, so I want to talk about it. But I've been having a workshop that started a few days before I came here. And I'm dealing with someone who has anxiety. And so a few days before I left home, which was actually several days before I got to the retreat, I realized that the usual way I go to the airport was not going to work. So I emailed the guest master, and I was told to look at the website of Bella Rosa, and I looked, and it's a little bit out of date, FYI. But so there were some numbers. I called them, and I figured out, you know, some things which were not ideal. And then...
What you were attempting to do is figure out when to... leave here and how to get to
the airport.
Okay, got it.
And another time coming to this retreat, I tried another routine, and that was really scary because the ride didn't show up, and that's exactly what happened to this little girl, that she was waiting for someone and they never came, like never came. So I think it brought up a lot of that. And so I, you know, so the other time I was, life was kind, and I just managed to get on the ride because I'd asked the guest master at the 11th hour, is there any way? And she said, no, you know, everything, all the cars are full. So I didn't know until actually this morning how I was getting to the airport.
Wait a minute, Goli.
Yes.
So they said, no, all the cars are full, sorry, you just have to live at Vallombrosa?
No, they gave me an option, which what I was lucky. They said, you know, there's a shuttle coming in a few minutes, and you can see if that shuttle can take you. And
got it, okay.
Thank goodness I, you know, managed to, you know, I asked the driver, are you going? And so that was, but that shuttle service is going out of business as of last night. So, yeah.
It's a plot goal.
I think so. So I guess what I want to know, what I would love some advice from you is whether I supported her in the best way that I could, or whether there are other things, because these are change the details and change the events, it comes up again. So this whole time I've been thinking, okay, what's going to happen? You know, I checked out this, and, you know, as I've been walking, that I could go here and go there. And then I noticed it brought up also some things about communication, because I started thinking, well, if that were me, I would have, you know, the expectation that things should be done in my time, like I would have communicated in a different way with the person. And I know on the radio show people always say, you know, wait a little bit longer and the voices tell you you can't. So
gotcha.
As soon as we arrived, I wrote a note to the guest master.
Which was as long as you could wait.
I was only like, no, but for the response, I went beyond all of my limits. Because not day one, not day two, three, four. So I waited until yesterday. I said, okay, we'll give till lunchtime. Then around 4 o'clock, that was longer than that. So I just said, you know, when might I have a response, you know, to my question? Because I thought, what if they never respond,
right,
you know? And so I guess on an interpersonal level, I handled it as skillfully as I could, but also, are there other things that I could have done or should have done to support a person who felt nervous and anxious. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to be stuck at Vallombrosa on my own on New Year's Day because not all transport systems are working. So it was a little scary. It, you know, it worked out. So I had three scenarios of how I could get to the airport. It ended up, as I learned this morning, that I landed, thank you, Lord, and monks and everybody, in the best-case scenario. But, you know.
Well, Goalie, so there's a lot in that, right? I mean,
yeah.
we can all see our whole lives in that. and so how do you do that? So to me, the best for Goalie would be you put it out there, you communicate, and then you don't stress about it. Because you know that when the time is right, you will make sure you have it covered. It's that 4 days of agony that we want to not live in. Right? And so then when the time comes, when you realize I haven't heard anything, and then the you didn't say this, but did my notes get lost? Is anybody
listening?
Yes, which is really important because that could have happened, and we've had that kind of thing happen where we had no idea something was going on with somebody. They assumed. In fact, I think we had one of those on this retreat where somebody suspected there was something about the food that might not have met our standards, not the walnuts. I'm sure those are
laced walnuts.
Laced. I like that word. And if people don't say something, because everybody's assuming, well, you know, they must know, for heaven's sake, and we don't know. And then it's just awful. So it's finding that grown-up place of communicating. Communicating, yeah. And that's how to take care of her, right? Not for her not to have to be 6 years old or whatever it is and terrified that she's going to get abandoned somewhere, but to know that she's with a grown-up who is going to take care of her. And not live in a, oh, well, I can't say anything, or but I should say something, but what should I?
So the voices are trying to figure out when would be the appropriate time to have asked, did my note get lost?
And that's the part Zen is not going to help you with. Okay? Because when we're present, we'll know. And it's one of those places that we've been talking about. Right, so it's not, I'm going to figure it out so that I can get it right, and which just feeds the anxiety,
right?
But I'm going to trust life. And, you know, if it gets to be 4 o'clock and life hasn't said anything, then you say something and see what happens. Right? But the whole process is a workshop, and it's all to end her suffering. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. There's none of that. There's just whatever and what happens. Whatever and what happens. What do you see? What do you get? What gets clarified?
Right. So through these 4 days, every time the anxiety or the worry about this had come up, which I kind of did, but I could just reassure her even more that don't worry.
Don't worry. I've got it.
I'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if there's something she needs to talk about that, then she talks about it and she gets reassured until that anxiety goes away because she doesn't have to worry anymore.
If I may say one thing about that. So there's a just not related to this particular topic, although it might be applicable, that part of what happens when we communicate is that we communicate about the content, not about our concern. So the note, so just to take this example, if I may, I would like to know, I need a ride to the airport. communicates that the information that you need, the ride to the airport. But as we were looking at it from a process perspective, if the communication said, I would like some support because I am being tortured by anxiety about it, you're actually communicating something very different. The response would be different. The response would be supporting you, not at the content level, but on the process level. And so you might get your response because what you communicated was totally different.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we don't realize, that we are so tortured by what is right and how to communicate. The person who needs the support, what she really needed was the support of the structure to say, we got this, girlie. Mm. Right? And the beauty of the structure is that if the communication was such that that was not what was received, then you have the opportunity to have her till it gets resolved. And oftentimes when we don't get what we're looking for, the opportunity in the practice structure is it's the best opportunity for you to save the human.
Right? Because we're not in the business of just answering every question that everybody has in order to take care of every little need.
And I'll just put this out. The practice structure is when you get on retreat, our job is to make sure that you can be present to the retreat completely. Mm-hmm. The reason the transport notes are posted on the morning of the day of departure is because otherwise people are obsessing about leaving and are not here. Mm-hmm. Right? So the structure holds the ability for you to be here and to notice if you're not here. Mm-hmm. Right? But it absolutely wouldn't abandon a human being who says, my process is one of anxiety. And I'm looking for reassurance. Mm-hmm. That's a completely different communication.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. It never occurred to me.
That's my only point.
Yeah.
That we communicate. It's the first exercise. It's that exercise we did, right? Mm-hmm. What was the intent of my communication? Mm-hmm. What I really wanted is never said. Mm-hmm. And so we don't get what we need because we don't communicate our need.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody, I mean, if there's a process issue, then practice will respond with the training that is most helpful for you, which is either to get the information or not get the information, because there's a sense of, okay, the training needs to be that this person is completely adequate to their experience and that's what they need to learn, versus they need to know that they are supported no matter what, because they haven't found it for themselves. Mm-hmm. But that will be a decision that practice will make based on the information that the person is willing to look for and give.
Mm-hmm.
That's the compassion.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Go ahead.
Just a question. How?
You just have to speak up.
And then we have a few conversations here.
How are you, like, with conscious, compassionate awareness and stay connected to your own heart at the same time? Like, is there any guidance that might help me?
Can you give me an example of where that would be a difficulty?
Well,
did everybody hear her question?
No. And like how to stay with my own heart and be like in that conscious compassionate awareness at the same time.
That includes everyone.
Yeah.
Is that the...
I can maybe sometimes get a glimpse of being in that conscious compassionate awareness, but then I try to get back to being connected to my own heart. Yeah.
So there's a belief that those are separate, that those are two separate things. And it might, it might be helpful or interesting to explore that when you are connected to your heart, when you are connected to your heart, and that's something to really explore, right? When you are when you are here, there isn't anything that isn't.
Okay.
And so I suspect that what has bamboozled you is the trip from conscious compassionate awareness back to my heart.
So if I'm in whatever I perceive as conscious compassionate awareness, I am with my heart?
Yes. But if you believe there's a journey between conscious compassion and awareness and back to your heart, that would be a good place for ego to slip in and say, not sure you're with your heart. Yeah, maybe you better stay with your heart and not worry about conscious compassion and awareness, because if those could get set up as two different things, it would really run you ragged.
It doesn't matter whether I focus on conscious compassionate awareness or I can pick either one.
Well, when you focus on conscious compassionate awareness, check out what your heart is doing. So we were talking with Justin last night about expanded awareness. Okay? So if you were to feel like you're here and you're present, and you're feel your heart, right? And then just let that awareness expand and realize that that's what you're experiencing is conscious, compassionate awareness.
And then breathe at the same time.
And then breathe at the same time, right. And maybe be sitting at first when you're doing it.
What? And then
Don't be walking around.
Okay.
That could be tricky.
Yeah, I almost passed out last night.
Uh-huh.
And during meditation, I almost had to interrupt the whole meditation so somebody could bring me to the ER. But luckily I didn't.
Yeah. So confirms kind of for me that there might be a little bamboozle going on. That wants you to believe that these are separate, different things, and that you have to somehow figure it out. And when actually relaxing into it, you realize those are just two words for the same experience.
Yeah, and thanks. The first time I was here now, yesterday, I went to Mother Teresa and the other sculptures. Wow. Crazy. Not crazy, but
crazy. Crazy powerful. Those eyes.
Thanks for in yoga, like all the really helpful cues to bring one back and to practice. Yeah, that was really, really helpful. And just one last thing, like how amazingly kind life is. Like, just the thing with I thought I had a heart attack last night. That was exactly what I needed, you know, not to go away from that connection. And then this morning in the shower, my shampoo glass thing fell down and broke, but so kind, only in the plastic lid broke. Not the glass. And okay, I'm here now. And then I stopped my toe, but really not bad.
Well, and that's so perfect, right? Because you know, we're conditioned not to see it that way. God, I stubbed my toe and I'm pretty sure I had a heart attack. I broke my shampoo. What a crappy retreat. But instead, where you are, and I know, because we had another conversation, but when you said you felt that connection, right, that you know you've been looking for your whole life, right, all followed by a heart attack. right? Which, again, is that attempt to get you to turn the, let the voices turn that into something negative or something to be afraid of or something dangerous, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I didn't see it. I mean, intermittently, I did see it that way, but it actually was exactly what I needed in order to stay here, because you know, otherwise I go to today, the excitement of what might happen or what just like excitement about what's gonna happen maybe is just
takes you away.
Parasite.
Yeah, takes you away, and you lose that connection. But if you can stay connected with her through a heart attack, that's connected.
I think I'm going to come here. Janice, Marianne, Deepa, and Karen.
What about?
And Phil. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll have to. We'll make sure you get in there, Phil. Okay, Janice.
I so appreciate the organization to make all of this happen. So at all the monastics behind the scenes, so it's guest master notes, whatever up here. This is, it's so humbling to see how that comes together so that I can participate. And the modeling, so Ashwini and Jen and Sherry, to be processing each other and in the moment, you know, see how, clarifying or drawing out, it can happen. And in the moment, to see how there could be, you know, something that happened. Well, I didn't quite get that. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, I was identified. Something like that. I could see how I can really take that home and use that now. It's wonderful, because sometimes conditioning would get me on a roll and something comes out of my mouth and I almost want to just ignore that happening and then keep going. But I can actually pause and say, what's going on for me? That's going to be a gift to other people. Not telling them how they have to do it this way, but that I can be centered, and I think it explains a lot.
Yeah, so, yes. Somebody said we're becoming a sangha of bodhisattvas, right? Mm-hmm. That we're going to go out there, as my teacher said, be social relief, right? So taking responsibility for ourselves. As you say, something comes out of your mouth, you hear it, rather than just, you know, just plow on ahead and hope that they didn't hear it, or but actually to be able to stop and acknowledge that that happened, and because are those sneezes? Bless you. That you don't have to feel bad about it. You didn't do anything wrong. You don't have to feel guilty. It's just that actually, you know what? I didn't mean to say that. I just heard that, and I can hear that that might not have sounded as loving to you as I'm actually feeling. So let me try that again, okay? And I mean, who's not going to be happy with that?
That's the thing that was dropping in for me too, right? So I had that experience this morning where someone says something, and if you can just go, yeah, that's true, rather than go to that ego place. Because what that allows us to do when you watch that come through and be able to say, oh, I just said something that I didn't mean to say, is a reinforcement of the of that experience that there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
That's what we're practicing in that moment of owning, there was something unskillful, where the behavior or the circumstance or the words are what are being brought into there's nothing wrong, as much as I didn't say or do something that I need to be beaten up about or feel bad about, because that's not me. When we live in the truth of what we are, we can accept anything, because it doesn't mean anything about who I am. Marianne.
I've been feeling like everyone is speaking. I am what everyone is speaking. Something like that.
We are one.
Yes, and every concern, every question, every delight at the wellness. it is me speaking, and I just appreciate the container and the support of the whole Sangha. And I have a question. And it's about the language of, I picked up it, there's, it hasn't been said, but what I picked up was something like, drop the self, there's no yourself, myself, and we are referring to her or him when we are speaking of the part.
Yeah. Well, it's just a kind of a little, what would we say, device, okay? Because myself has been taken over by ego for so long. Mm-hmm. And the confusion that myself is the authentic human being. And so when ego speaks for myself, or about me, or I, then that authentic human being seems to be spoken for. And so when we say her, that's an attempt to point at there is a human being there, an authentic human being there, who's the one that... whose salvation you are working out diligently as the practitioner, and making available for the mentoring, the unconditional love and acceptance, and that's not the myself, the I, me, of ego.
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking, how do I'm speaking to. Not myself, but to her. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out how to use that language so I support myself.
Yeah.
But not myself.
apparently the Buddha came up with a whole different language, right, in order to be able to attempt to communicate this stuff, because you get to the point of realizing, and so we'll say things like, I feels. Mm-hmm. It's to point at the ego is saying that. It's not coming from an authentic place. So, and we have to be careful. You know, at some point, we'll probably send out a little notice that says, okay, we're not saying that anymore. Because ego has taken it over. Mm-hmm. And now it's no longer a helpful device. Mm-hmm. But if you, you know, some of the things that happens in the world of psychology, you get a picture of her. Right? You put it up on your dresser. And you, that reminds you that there is that innocence, that authenticity, that you are working to let go ego in order to assist her to have the life that has been denied to her because of the ego takeover. Right? And so just with that, and with the, you know, when you record and listen to have in conscious awareness, that it's for her, that as the practitioner, you are doing this to support her. And increasingly you listen. So when we talk about the, where are you getting that information, that's another device to, help us realize most of the time what's talking is ego. And I've fallen into thinking it's me. And So using all of those in that way, just as a way to bring ourselves back to conscious awareness.
Mm. The language is inadequate at the best of times.
It really is. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It really is. We can see why there have been many spiritual types who just flat out stop talking. Like, if you can get the energy, great. If you can't get the energy, well, work on getting the energy.
Gash out to everyone and the teachings and the wonderful container that we have manifested together.
Yes. And that, you know, Marianne, that's a really important point. And we have a lot of people to hear from, so I'm not going to go on too long about this. But and many of you who've been around for a while know. I was at, I think, the first book festival that we went to when The Key came out. And I was talking with this guy from another Zen center. And we were talking about practice. And I was describing our practice. And he said, He said, well, I predict that you're going to have a very small, very mature sangha. Mm-hmm. And what he was responding to was the people who will practice in the privileged environment. Mm-hmm. The people who will practice without social connections, mm-hmm. Without needing to go out there and chat over dinner. Mm-hmm. That's a very unusual group of people. Mm-hmm. The people who are willing to be kind regardless. That's a very unusual group of people. Mm-hmm. And we are all reaping the benefits of being privileged enough to be in the company of that group of people. And that's not saying anything negative about anybody else, because a lot of people want a lot of different things. But the people who are drawn to this practice and want to do it in this way, in this particular container that we make together, it's something that we all love and value. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Deepa.
Thank you. I wanted to report on the full circle that happened last evening at the last group. I could be surprised, and with beginner's mind, a part of me was that, wow, it happened. But a part of me relaxed into it because I had the privilege of attending a couple of retreats that has been designed so beautifully that it brings me to the place which is necessary for me, at least it feels like, to see. So beginning with the first group confession.
We're getting into my reflection request.
Oh, reflection request. Oh. Okay.
So beginning with the first group where I shared that by the Buddha's matrix, I had a conversation I should not have had because the Buddha would have not...
Wouldn't have done that. The Buddha would not have had that conversation.
Uh-huh. And I did. Uh-huh. And I suffered immensely around it, which is why that dropped in as an invitation to the exercise.
Can you hear?
No.
Yeah?
No.
No? You can't hear, but they can. The acoustics stink. Yeah. Okay. So, with the first exercise, you realized that you had a conversation that the Buddha would not have had. And you suffered mightily over having had that conversation.
Yes. And the last 2 days of being taught or educated about or offered these tools.
So the last couple of days of being offered the tools that you've been offered.
And coming right up to processing.
Coming right up to processing.
Mm-hmm. Made it not fun, but sobering and important for me to see
So it wasn't fun, but it was sobering and important for you to see.
That I have to get clear about what is going on for me first.
That we have to get, well, let's make it universal, okay? Mm-hmm. We have to get clear about what's going on for us first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm projecting that there are relationships where that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Right? There are people in our lives where we can just blah, 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 and get what's going on with us through that process. Right? And then there are those situations and those people where we really want to do the work ahead of time to get to what's going on here before we engage anybody else in our stuff.
That is exactly where I am, which is the first part of that is to the people who have processed with me, enormous gratitude because I was previously unskilled, uneducated. But,
and so there have been people who have facilitated you or processed with you during times when you were bringing nothing to the party.
I was bringing nothing. Yeah. I was the freeloader.
Yeah.
But the last couple of role plays that Jen and Ashwini did, which brought me to that place of clarity, was if I am in a place that I want to process, but the other person is identified, then that's where the responsibility is on me to get as clear as possible about what I want out of this, I know, a difficult interaction.
Okay, I'm going to, just in case. So the last couple of role plays that Jen and Ashwini did helped you to see that if you're in a relationship with somebody who isn't as excited or enthusiastic as you are about the process, then it's really important for you to get very clear for yourself about what you want from that interaction, from that relationship.
Correct. And so the extreme mastery that was being offered as a possibility,
yes,
that if it's available to you, then I must go to a place of facilitation, so that I can not be identified.
That's right. So if you and I are in this, and I'm the one who wants something out of this, right? I see that you're getting identified. It really is on me to be able to use the skills that I know are available to me to not just for me, right, but for you too, because.
And if that spaciousness is not, and clarity is not, and that compassion is not available, then the work ahead of time can help me decide if I want to engage in this interaction at all,
yes,
or if I have to seek whatever resolution I want from that somewhere else.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because we will have people in our lives who are not interested in this. They don't actually want clarity. They don't even know that such a thing is a possibility, right? And so if we know that that's the case, to keep in an identified way, which is the only way we would do it, to keep butting our heads up against that, no. So if it's not going to be resolved here, then I need to resolve it elsewhere.
And just finally, and if I feel resentment around that, why do I have to do all the work? It goes back to the first time I was ever here, because I'm the one that wants to end myself.
That's right. That's why I have to do the work, because I'm the one who wants it. Yeah, isn't that good? Everybody is just off the hook. Right? Yeah. Thank you.
I think we can do Phil and Karen, and then we got to go eat lunch.
We have to go eat more delicious food.
We hope the candied walnuts are there.
Yeah. Are they there at every meal?
They have been so far. I can't guarantee they will be this stuff.
Well, that would be cruel.
They go faster. They go fast.
You want to get there and be at the front of the line.
Okay. Karen and then Phil. Oh, so Phil.
Phil
and then
Karen. Yeah.
Okay.
At
least. Just...
Of course, every retreat is the best retreat.
Every retreat is the best retreat.
And this is the best retreat.
This is the best one ever.
Retreats, and
ever.
This is the one we're doing. Mm-hmm. And and I got so much out of it. You know, there's, and it's not stuff to say I never knew, but it's just so. My mind likes organization. I mean, it's just so. Well, just dropped in at a whole deeper level.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Things coming together. Pieces that, yeah, we know, but they're put together in a way that they're coming together.
Like recording and listening and the process are all there so that we can get to that place of who we really are.
Yes.
And
can you hear okay?
Yes, no. I can't tell how loud
they can. No. They can. Okay. Well, you're not talking that loudly.
I'm not.
You can just go ahead and yell at me, okay?
Okay. How's that a little bit better?
Try to keep it up now.
All right. I just need to kind of gear.
Because I can. Yeah. I can also reflect. Yeah. As we know.
So, like the recording and listening, that like the first facilitating. Well, first there's the two-handed, and that facilitating recording.
Recording yourself,
myself,
facilitating yourself, yeah.
Facilitating myself is, I can see, is practice for being able to process.
Yes.
Because I'm processing in it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're getting clear about what's going on with you.
And I'm getting clear. And so, I'm able to express it, to practice saying it, because that's not something that comes real kind of natural to me sometimes.
To be able to say it in the moment.
Yes.
Right? And so if you're seeing it for the first time and you're trying to express it in the moment, that's challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've seen it a number of times and you know how you talk about that, right? Then it's easier when you're with another human being to...
Yeah, it comes more naturally.
Yeah.
And what I saw is I went back to, kind of like somebody else, went back to the first conversation, you know, that I talked about, which was the Christmas Eve fiasco with my other sister.
The first conversation,
sister.
The Christmas Eve fiasco.
Yes, where life, in a sense... rescued me. I mean, I was aware of what was going on, and it felt I was getting identified. Life dropped in, you know. Oh,
go home.
I want to go home. And, I mean, the peace, that's why I know it was just, you know, that was kind of what to do. That's why it was, no question. And it was just, I completely was there for the human or whatever, whoever was there. And if I had had, I was aware of these skills, I could have at that point, I mean, probably at that point, or at any point, said what was going on with me in a more, like, conversation is really frustrating to me. You know, I feel really frustrated about this conversation or however. I don't have any hope that it would have changed the other person, but it would have brought me to that same place that life dropped in and brought me to.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what I realized, that's what we're practicing with the facilitating. You know, the human and,
yes,
and the two-handed.
Yeah. Yeah, so you didn't have those skills at that point, but on the drive home, you could certainly practice them, should that happen again in your future, right? So it probably will. Yeah, and so now you know that what you would like to do is have more relationship with the person who is constantly or regularly in that kind of situation and feels so frustrated by it,
mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. So you can assist her in that. You can facilitate her through that.
Right. And actually, on the drive home, I was very present because it was a kind of a
scary drive.
Scary drive home, and
Yeah. So, but it felt really good, and so I felt really with, you know, one, you know,
yeah.
at one,
yes.
And there is, I'm seeing a faith and a trust in life and all of that.
Yes.
And that's part of the oneness.
Yes. Yes. Because if you, on another occasion, it would perhaps occur to you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But not from the same place.
Yes.
That this.
Yes. Because
that kind of clarity, it would come from identification.
Yeah, it did occur to me much earlier to say, I'm out of here.
Right.
I might have even said it. But then I thought, well, that didn't seem compassionate for some reason to either of us. So I sat down and we continued the conversation, and then that's when the other "I'm going to go home" dropped in.
Right, and it just dropped in,
and
that
completely different.
Right, that felt right. That felt like the most compassionate thing for all.
Yeah, because
right? And then when that happens, we don't have that residual
right. There was no residual,
conversation.
Nothing.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was just peace. So just thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, and what you're saying, of course, is that happened. You didn't have these skills. Now there's the excitement of now you have these skills, mm-hmm. right? And you get to go out there
and practice them.
And again, as I said yesterday or whenever it was, if you practice them on people, don't tell them what you're doing, okay? Don't, you know, I went to this retreat and what we saw was this and I learned this and, you
just,
know, don't
just
do that. Just practice it. And
and
probably the first best place to practice is in that self-facilitation.
Exactly.
Just getting clear.
Yeah. Perfect.
And to play, I hope you'll all play with the, where is this information coming from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just a, wouldn't you like to say that to other people on occasion? Where are you getting that information? Oh, Katie really would. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Thank you. Is Karen next?
Yes, and we got to go, but.
Okay. Well, she's fast.
Yes.
She's
no,
fast.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well,
just holler.
Okay. Everything I was going to say, I think, has been said. So.
It's the Marianne.
Just the generosity of what's been given. I'm just so incredibly, deeply grateful. And the yoga was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Commercials, but I'll do a commercial that Jen's actually doing a fundraiser for Africa in January, which is her yoga.
Oh.
So I think it's on the
26th.
Yeah.
Virtual.
And
it's a webcast.
Yeah.
It's on the website.
Yeah. Yep.
So Karen.
She got a standing ovation. At the last retreat, which it's taken her months to recover from. So this will be a process all the way back to Pennsylvania. But thank you. Thank you, Jen. And while we're thanking Jens,
let's thank
I
all
think
the
we
Jen.
Should thank the yes. Thank yes. Jen. Yeah,
Rebecca and Scott and everyone who
behind the scenes making it all happen, and then of course all of us,
yes.
right? Because without all of us, it would not be much of a retreat.
And just the tremendous generosity of the information that was given, because I feel like.
The generosity of the information that was
the
given.
The generosity of the information that was given, because I feel like you're letting us in on kind of how it all works mm-hmm. and how, I don't want to say letting us in on what you do, but it's...
the tricks of the trade.
It really is, it's just such a way to end suffering. That's, I think...
Yes, well, and you know, I mean, we can think in terms of generosity, but if we just realize what a thrill it is to see,
yeah.
what a thrill it is
yeah.
to see, mm-hmm. and to be in a place where we get to see.
Yeah.
And so for those who have been around for a long time, the practice is just evolving. And I said to Ashwini and probably anybody else who will listen to me, I so wish everybody would do the year-long retreat. Because that year-long retreat changed things for people. I mean, the first one did, the second one did, the third one did, right? And doing that all year long, it's just skyrocketed. So we couldn't do anything else. It's just this is where practice is evolving.
Yeah.
And
just lastly, that what I saw so clearly on this retreat was that the recording and listening, that the tool that we have, you know, I don't even know quite how to say it, but it's like is it a vehicle? It's a way to, it really is a way to wake up and end suffering.
Yes, yes. The recording and listening is the tool. We'd say the best tool, mm-hmm. if we wanted to just get crazy, mm-hmm. for waking up and ending suffering. Mm-hmm. And I've said it to many people. I'm sure if the Buddha had the technology, he'd have been doing this. Okay? Because it's direct access to what is such a struggle to find.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to think that I can work out my, I can process,
yes,
right here.
Yes, yes.
That I can take care of her.
Yes.
You know, that there's,
yes.
You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just,
I know.
I just saw things on a new level, and I just am so deeply grateful.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I hear you. Me too. Me too. I feel we're so blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because it's when, I know we have to go.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Well, you know, it's because people will say this, you know, why me? Why me? And that's mm-hmm. that's just it. I mean, why did we get this?
Yeah.
You know, and you can't give it away. No. It's absolutely free, right? And I'll say that to people. It's free. Everybody has a smartphone. Everybody can do this. It's the deal. It'll change your life. It'll, and, but we know it. And
you have
so,
to have the experience.
Huh?
You have to have the experience.
Well, yeah. And the first step of that is be willing to try it, which is, yeah. Nancy, quickly.
Well, I really appreciate all the processing, and I could have said parts of all of that, and I have something that I wanted to talk about, but it's been processed already. But I wanted to say that this whole retreat has been such an opportunity for me from day one to right now. I've had my hands up the whole time, and there's been a whole workshop around that, and I thought I have to say something so that I can take care of myself, and whoa, I'm ending it on disidentified.
Yes.
Yes. It
works. Yes. Well, and so in pursuit of content, this works. Because when people are sitting in the back of the room and they put their hands up, when you're sitting here, it's really hard. So the other night, as you noticed, Ashwini's going, Kate. And I'm going, where is she? Okay.
No, I understand that.
Yeah. So just
persistent.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, because it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sherry.
Oh, yes. You're very welcome. Thanks to everyone.
I thought I'd read something before we went.
Okay.
We practice authentic communication when we bypass ego identification and come to presence, present to how ego is maintaining separation. We practice authentic communication when we bypass ego identification and come to presence, present to how ego is maintaining separation. From that vantage point of awareness, we choose not to be the voice of ego. We reveal our process, what ego may be saying or doing to us as a way to establish a communication bridge that cannot be intercepted by ego. We reflect, draw out, and clarify as techniques to keep ego out of an interaction with another human being. And when ego does hijack the communication, which it surely will, we pick up the recorder and reestablish our connection to the wisdom, love, and compassion that we are. From compassion, we attempt once more to communicate, and that communication has the possibility of getting us to communion. Gassho, the salutation at the end of each of the letters, is a Japanese word that accompanies the gesture of bringing hands together at the heart and bowing. It's a sacred ritual gesture, sometimes defined as my heart and your heart are one. It embodies the possibility available to all of us of a return to the state of oneness where all opposites are reconciled. Gassho is the attitude of mind that we can adopt in our attempts to communicate. Communication, then, becomes a spiritual practice embodying reverence, respect, and compassion in words as we move in the way towards the wordless.
Wow. That's nice.
What were you reading?
It's this book.
It's a book called Don't Suffer, Communicate.
Available near you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
We have lunch, and then there's also the Keep It Simple bookstore, and a lot of people have brought their crafts for their fundraiser for Africa to the retreat, so you're welcome to
shop
in the library.
It's in
the library. Yeah, thank you.